I want you to stand with me tonight as you take the Word of God. Look at the book of Acts, chapter number 1. As we understand the Bible, I'm of the conviction that the church began with Christ and His disciples, was empowered on the day of Pentecost. We find that in chapter number 2. But we find here the departure of the Lord. The Bible says in chapter number 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." We find in this passage of Scripture the Lord's getting ready to leave. And these apostles, these disciples, and these followers of the Lord Jesus are there with Him. And they really thought He was going to set up the kingdom here and now. And He looks at them and they say, "Well, at this time, will You restore Your kingdom?" And Jesus gave him this answer. He says, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons." And I want you to understand tonight that there are things that we just don't know. And I want to preach on what to do when you don't know what to do. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. We thank You for Calvary. Lord, we thank You for the soul-cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. How thankful we are. Your grace and mercy is so sufficient. Lord, the privilege to come to You and speak, recognizing our need tonight. Lord, we need Thee. We need Thy help, Thy guidance, Thy strength. God, I know I need You. I need You to help me to stand and preach. I need You, Lord, to empower me with the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that You'd hide me behind the cross. And tonight, I pray we'd hear from heaven. And when we go out of here, nobody will be talking about a message being great, but about a Savior being great, and about His promises. Lord Jesus, would You do that which needs to be done in this place? And I pray that every heart and soul and life would be touched tonight by Your Word. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find as the Lord Jesus is getting ready to leave, and He tells them that it's not for them to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. We realize that these disciples, all of a sudden, they were sitting there no doubt thinking, what's going to happen next? What are we supposed to do? They had been with Him, and I really believe that they thought that He was going to be around, and they were concerned now. Because they could always fall back to the Lord, and they could always look to the Lord, and they would go to Him and speak to Him. And, you know, they thought once He came that He would never go away. But 5 times we read of the Great Commission, and in those times He teaches us that He's going to go away. But as He goes away, that He's left us with a responsibility. He's left us with a job to do, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And it says, as the Lord sent me, even so send I you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God has a job for us to do. But the disciples here, these apostles, thought there is no doubt that He is going to be setting up His kingdom. He has come to restore the kingdom, and this is the time, and this is the place. And now He says, I'm leaving. And I think that they just didn't know what to do. And tonight, I'm going to give you three simple things to do when you don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, I'm saying some things that it's not going to be new to you. It's not going to be a surprise to you. But sometimes I think we just need to be reminded of some things, you know? We already know these things. We already have the answer. But number one, what to do when you don't know what to do. Number one, talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Pray. There are times you just don't know which way to go. So what are you going to do? You got to pray. What happened? When the Lord Jesus left here, we see in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, there were 120 people. They were gathered together. And you know what they were doing? They were praying. What's going to happen next? What's next on the agenda? What do we do now? So instead of just running around like a chicken with their heads cut off, they said, we need to talk to God. And they began to talk to the Lord, and God began to act, and God began to do great and mighty and miraculous and wonderful things. And we could go all throughout the book of Acts, and we could see how that the Lord works. Now, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church. The book of Acts has no conclusion. When you read it and you come down to that final chapter, chapter 28, and you begin to read it and you get through to the very end of it, you know what you're going to find? There is absolutely no conclusion, because we are the continuance of the book of Acts. Because this is a book of the work of the Holy Spirit in the church, and the church is still around today, and the Holy Spirit's still at work in the church today. So we're fulfilling the rest of the book of Acts. Now, there's not going to be anything added to the Bible. Don't take me wrong. There's not. But the reason that there's no final amen or anything about that when it comes to this particular book is because the work has to be continued and the work has to go on. And we all know that there are times when we absolutely just do not know what to do. And when we don't know what to do, talk to the Lord. Just go to God. We could go and see some things. Go back with me, if you will, in the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 12. And Jeremiah, chapter number 12, we're finding that there's a conversation going on between the Lord and Jeremiah. And the Lord is talking to Jeremiah, and he's saying all these things about how that the children of Israel have broken the covenant. The children of Judah, if you will, have broken the covenant that God had given to them. And Jeremiah's heart is broken, and he's to the point, and God tells him all these different things. He says, they've not obeyed me, they've not inclined to my ear, they've walked after everyone and in the imagination of their own heart. And he says, I'm going to bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do. They would not do them, and now they're going to have to be punished. And Jeremiah he'd been preaching, he'd been all these things, and he said, just don't know what to do. So we find Jeremiah talking to the Lord. Jeremiah chapter number 12, verse number 1. Jeremiah saying, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they that deal very treacherous? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. They bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. There's a lot of people that says, Lord, Lord, but he's nowhere close to their heart. He said, you know, Isaiah said, they speak with me with their mouth, but their heart is far removed from me. And that's what Jeremiah is saying here. They're near me. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But, O Lord, thou knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of the slaughter. He's saying, I've done the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to be right, Lord, and your children have disobeyed you, and you said that this judgment is coming down, and God, I don't know what else to do, and I'm just going to talk to you. And sometimes that's where we have to be in our lives. We have to learn, when we don't know what to do, talk to the Lord. Trust the Lord. Tell others about it. Talk to Him. When you begin to talk to God, God will begin to talk to you. Sometimes we don't hear from the Lord because we don't speak to the Lord. As a parent, there's one thing I enjoy, and that's when my children want to talk to me. Now, usually after they talk to me 5 minutes, they don't care about talking to me anymore. A lot of that has to do with they say I'm quite silly sometimes. They say I'm very corny and annoying, and I'm dorky. I said, that's what dads are supposed to be. I'm a good daddy, amen? I'm just so corny. We have a lot of fun, but when there's something serious going on, and our kids will come and they'll talk to myself or talk to Jody, that means so much to us. And we can talk to them. Sometimes, see, God knows all that's going on in our lives, but He desires that communion. He desires for us to speak to Him. And sometimes I don't know what to do, and I try to handle things on my own, and I forget to talk to God, and you know what I usually do? I make a mess out of it all. But when I talk to the Lord, I find out that He gives me patience, and then He begins to provide the answers. Sometimes, by the way, I found out that He never shows us the answer to what it is exactly we're looking for, because He's working in our lives in another way. But we need to talk to the Lord. We need to learn to talk to the Lord. That's what we do when we don't know what to do. Talk to the Lord. Jeremiah didn't know what to do. What do you think in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, what do you think was going on there in the book of Acts when they were all praying together? They were talking to God because they did not know what to do. This church had been started, and the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to be with you always. He had tried to explain to them that He was going to go away and the Holy Spirit was going to come, and the Holy Spirit was going to be that comforter, and everywhere that they went, the Holy Spirit was going to be personally with them. But I think sometimes it just went over their head, just like messages that preachers preach sometimes go over people's heads. And just like when I'm reading my Bible, sometimes God is trying to show me something and it goes right over my head, you know? But here, He's leaving and they do not know what to do, so they do what they do know to do, and that's talk to the Lord. If there's one thing you can always remember when you don't know what to do, talk to the Lord. I think about Samuel. If you'll remember over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we find that the Lord speaks to Samuel. You remember? And Samuel didn't know what was going on. And it says in there, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And I believe what he's saying there is Samuel did not have the understanding of the relationship that he was going to have with the Lord and the purpose that God had in his life. He was still just a kid. And so every time the Lord would speak to him while Samuel was lying there in bed, he would get up and he'd go say, what do you want, Eli? And Eli said, I didn't say anything. So Samuel would go lay down, and he's lying there, and as he's lying there, the Lord says, Samuel. Samuel gets up, he goes over to Eli's room. What is it, Eli? I didn't say anything to you. It happens. He didn't know what to do. He goes to the prophet Eli, and Eli says this time, say, what do you want, Lord? And so he heard the voice of the Lord, and he began to talk to God. When we began to talk to God, God began to answer him. God doesn't answer us in verbal voices, by the way. The Lord speaks to us through several different ways. He speaks to us through the Scriptures. If you're not reading your Bible, don't expect God to speak to you. He speaks to us through the Spirit of God. And we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. And the way the Spirit works is through the Scriptures, and He speaks to us through the servants of God. In other words, He sends preachers, He sends teachers, He sends other Christians that are willing to serve the Lord. And by the way, sometimes He speaks to us through circumstances. And we have to understand these things. God wants to talk to us, but God wants us to talk to Him. Jeremiah said, I do not know what to do. So he just talked to God about it. And God helped him, didn't he? Samuel went to Eli, and he was like, well, what's going on here? And Eli says, just talk to God. It's Him that's talking to you. And Eli talks to the Lord. You see, tonight, there are times that we don't know what's around the next corner. We don't know what to do. We don't know the next move to make. So we have to learn to talk to the Lord. The second thing we need to learn to do is to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, you could go and you could read the book of Acts, chapter number 7, and you could see a man by the name of Stephen, and Stephen was being stoned, wasn't he? And as Stephen was being stoned, he didn't groan and bellyache, he just trusted God. Stephen didn't do anything to deserve what he was getting. But he knew that he needed to trust the Lord with this. And he did. Acts chapter number 12, there was Peter as he was there in the prison. And he was there trusting the Lord. The church was over here praying and Peter was trusting the Lord and God delivered him. We just need to learn to trust in the Lord. When we don't know what to do, we just got to trust Him. We need to live right and be right and act right and do everything we know that's right in our life. But we need to learn to trust the Lord. We need to claim the promise of the book of the Proverbs. You remember Solomon was writing to his son and he was giving him great instructions. And you can go and you could read in Proverbs chapter 3. Read those first four verses and then get to that verse where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path." Trust in the Lord. That's what we have to do when we don't know what to do. We just have to trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. That's what we do a lot of times, isn't it? We try to make sure we understand something fully. Sometimes God wants us just to trust Him, and it's not about us understanding, it's trusting the Lord and taking that step that God would have us to take. Lean not to thine own understanding. God will tell us to do things that doesn't make sense to us and does not make sense to others. God will never tell us to do something that would break the law. But God will tell us to do things that... Faith is an exciting life. God may tell us to step out by faith and do certain things. We have to trust the Lord, lean not to our own understanding. Sometimes it just don't make sense, but we have to do it because we know it's what God wants us to do. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Think about that. When everything goes great, it's easy to say, well, praise the Lord. It's the way, you know, and it's wonderful. But when it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, it means when things don't go so well. We have to learn that God has a purpose even in that. Every trial and every trouble that comes to the life of a believer, God has a purpose for it. And in that purpose, God is wanting to do something great. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And then what does it say? And He shall direct thy paths. Let's say it together. And He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. We don't know which turn to make. But that's because many times we've left out the first three parts of it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. We want to get to the direction first. Right? We want to get there first. You know, you want to go to Disney World. But I want you to know there's a route you have to take to get there. If you were going to go from here, probably the best thing to do would be to go right out here at 30th Street, take a right. Go down 1 mile to Hillsboro, 92, take a left. Follow 92 and let it run into 4 and merge into Interstate 4. And then you take it over to whatever exit that is over there that says Magic Kingdom. And you get off on there. You can't just say, well, I want to get there. And you know, you've got to follow the directions for every part of the way. And a lot of times we want to bypass everything in the Christian life. We just want God to show us the end. We want to have arrived. But see, the problem is when we're just there, we've not learned anything along the way. And when we arrive, we still will not know what to do. But when we followed God's plan for our life, then every step of the way, He's preparing us for when we arrive to this place. Does that make sense to you? I remember hearing about a missionary, and I know I've told you this story here, but I just thought it's such a great illustration. A man had this desire to go to the mission field. He's married, and boy, he was all excited about getting there, And they was on the deputation trail. And as he was on the deputation trail, he was going from church to church. And he was just so excited. But the wife, she wasn't quite as excited. So she went to a church, and the pastor of this church spoke to her, spoke to them. And he was like, "Yeah, man, we're just so excited about getting to this place and all that." And then he looked at her and she said, "I just don't know if I can make it through another day. You know, I mean, there, I'm not sure." And so the pastor sat down with him and said, "This is what you need to do. Where's the next place you're going?" Let's just say the next place she was going was Winter Haven. And she said, "Winter Haven." He said, "Well, all you need to be concerned about is going to Winter Haven. And when you get there, let God work in your life. And then the next place, and then the next place. And through all that, God will be working in you." God used that in a great way. When they got down to the point they'd raised all their deputation, she was more excited than the husband was about getting to the mission field that God wanted them to be on. And they've been serving on that mission field for years now. You see, sometimes we forget that the journey there has a great deal of learning that we need to bring into our lives. What to do when you don't know what to do? She said, "I don't know what to do. I mean, this field, this place, and I'm scared and I'm starting to be concerned." Don't forget, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all the ways acknowledge Him. The ups, the downs, the good, the bad. When things are going great, praise the Lord. When things are going bad, learn to trust the Lord and say, "God's got a purpose and a plan." That's what trusting in the Lord is all about. We have to learn to trust in the Lord. The psalmist said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And you go to a lot of men for answers today, but you need to learn that your trust has to be in the Lord. Men will fail you, but God will never fail you. We need to see that and we need to understand that. Then it also, the very next verse says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It talks about government. There's too many people wanting everything from the government, but we need to learn to trust in the Lord. The government's responsibility in our land is to protect protect the Constitution and be sure that's provided. It's not to hand out for everybody. It's to give everybody the opportunity to live their life, to pursue after the things that God would allow us to pursue after. And we have too many people that's trusting in man, and too many people that's trusting in princes, when what we need to do is learn to trust in the Lord. And God will help us, and God will strengthen us. And God will give us exactly what it is that we need. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse number 5, "Thus saith the Lord God, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." When you don't know what to do, we don't need to look anywhere but to God. Let God guide us and direct us. And God may use people to be a blessing along the way. But I think we need to learn to trust in the Lord. And then finally, talk to the Lord, trust in the Lord, and then tell others about the Lord. I'll conclude all this here in just a moment. I want you to think about the book of Acts, chapter number 16. What's happening in Acts 16? You remember where Paul and Silas are in Acts 16? Living the good life, right? Happy days, they're in a nice palace and living in the king's life. Oh, no? Oh, they're in prison. And we see them as they're there in prison and they're talking to the Lord. And they're trusting the Lord. God delivers them and they could be gone away. But there's this man called the Philippian jailer that comes to him and they can't go away. They have to tell him about the Lord. When you don't know what to do, tell others about the Lord. It's something you ought to always be busy doing. Learn to tell others about the Lord. What about Acts chapter number 23, verse number 11, when the Lord is talking to Paul? Look at what that says. And the night following, the Lord stood by him. Talking about, now Paul's been standing before the Sanhedrin. He's appealed. You can see there in your headers, if you have the Scofield Bible, says he appeals to the Pharisees and all that. And boy, I tell you, it's just, he's getting nowhere with these guys. But verse number 11 has to be one of the most comforting verses in the life of Paul. Because it says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. In other words, these chains of bondage have a purpose and have a reason, and now you've been able to tell people about me here, and you're headed to another place, and you're going to be able to tell people about me there. Paul didn't know what else to do. He had made his appeals, he had made his pleas and all this, and we see that he's getting nowhere, but the Lord says there's a purpose in all this. Use this to tell others about the Lord. The Bible says, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5, verse 19 and 20, this is talking about the maniac of Gadara. He'd been healed by the Lord. This man that had been cutting himself and literally been chained and tied up, and he broke everything that they bound him with. And the Lord Jesus delivered him from that, and he had every desire to go with the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Here's a man that he didn't know what to do. Can you imagine? I mean, he had been under this condition. He had been literally possessed for years. And he's all of a sudden been set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Lord's going away, and he's thinking, what am I going to do? And he's pleading with the Lord. He's asking the Lord that he might be able to go and be with him. But look at the response that Jesus said, gave him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. In other words, you can't go. But saith to him, go home and to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, this man, this maniac, this former maniac who departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. Sometimes we don't know what to do, but it's never wrong to tell others about Jesus. That's something we ought to never stop doing. Regardless of what's going on in our life, we ought to always be busy telling others about the Lord. This is something we need to realize. For every good thing in our life that God allows, God has a purpose in it. But for every trouble and trial, God has a purpose. And we must continue telling others about the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse number 13. The Bible says, now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What a difference when somebody's been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, of course you know this is after the man was healed outside the temple, the synagogue. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard. You know what they were saying? It don't matter what it takes, we're not going to stop telling others about Jesus. When you're not sure what to do. These are three simple things. There's more, no doubt. Three simple things that you can always do and not be wrong in doing them. And by the way, these should always be a part of the Christian's life. There's going to be days that you don't know what to do. There's going to be periods of time when you really just don't know what to do. You don't know the next step. You don't know the answer to the problem. You don't know what's around the next corner. And you just don't know what to do. That's life. But you can always talk to the Lord. And you can always trust the Lord. And you can always tell others about the Lord. When you don't know what else to do, if you'll let them three things govern your life, God will give you direction. And God will give you help. And God will help you through those times. When you don't know exactly what's going to happen, God will give you strength by doing these things. Go read the book of Acts. See what they're doing all throughout it. I started to just take it and go. You know, one night I went through the book of Jonah, but that was only four chapters. I figured if I went all the way through the book of Acts and did that, we might be here a while. So I thought, well, I'm just going to take a little bit out. But go read the book of Acts. See what happens. There are times when there are all kinds of troubles around. You know what they're doing? They're always talking to the Lord. They're always trusting the Lord. And they're always telling others about the Lord. And I figure if that's what the early church was doing, that's what this church in this day ought to be doing. Amen? So what are you doing with your life? Are you talking to the Lord? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you telling us about the Lord? Can't go wrong by doing these things. May the Lord help us. But in order to talk to the Lord and to trust the Lord and to tell others about the Lord, it must begin with a personal relationship with the Lord. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Has there ever been a moment of time, an hour in your life, an instant in your life, where you recognize that you were a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to save you from your sins and put your faith in the finished work of Calvary? If you've never done that, then tonight you need to talk to the Lord for the first time in a way where you're asking God to forgive you and by faith trust in Him to save you. And if you have done that, praise the Lord for it. If you've done that, have you obeyed the Lord in the simple things? Have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? Have you followed the Lord in church membership? Are you following the Lord in your daily life? Then you can begin to realize what talking to the Lord, trusting the Lord, and telling others about the Lord is all about. Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you please be honest as we talk about just a couple of things? I want to talk about your relationship with the Lord. I want to ask you a question about your relationship with the Lord. Is it there? Do you have that? Not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that heaven's going to be your home? Has there ever been a moment in your life where you prayed and trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for your soul's salvation? Now, I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about doing good and trying to live right. I'm talking about personally praying and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've done that tonight, would you raise your hand as a testimony and say, yes, I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not perfect, but I trusted Christ and Him alone. Would you raise your hand? Thank you for that. God bless you. I appreciate that. For those that could not raise their hands right now, as God is speaking to your heart about this, things begin to happen when you admit you have a need. And if you cannot raise your hand that you know that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now you're thinking, I'm concerned about my soul, I'm concerned about my eternity. Now, you're not committing to a whole lot of things, but you are committing to the fact that you care about eternal life, you care about where you're going to spend your eternity. Right now you'd say, preacher, I'm going to admit that I want somebody to pray for me about this. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't have the peace in my heart that I ought to have. about heaven and about hell, about my soul, about eternity. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand right now? I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. How many of us tonight? Raise your hand, I'm saved. But you really know in your heart and in your life that this message has been for you, and the fact that you may know certain things to do, but we need to learn to talk to the Lord, have a greater prayer life. We need to learn to trust in the Lord, and we need to learn to tell others about the Lord in a greater way. And God's dealing with your heart about that, and God's speaking to you about it even now. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me, preacher. God's speaking to me. Many hands, many hands. My hand's up too. Oh, may the Lord help me to be a better witness for Him. God, help us tonight. Well, as God beckons you, maybe you'd find yourself a place here in the altar, and you may take somebody that's sitting next to you and just say, would you go with me? I'm nervous about this. Go with me, and I want to pray that God will help me. And you pray to the Lord for His help and for His guidance, that God would do something in your life that would help you in your prayer life, in your trusting Him and telling others about the Lord. Father, please have your way. Lord, I believe people have been honest about this tonight. Lord, I pray that that honesty would bring them to a place where they'll have even greater accountability by coming forward and making themselves responsible for the things that you've dealt with them about. Lord Jesus, would you help them to come and commit to having a better prayer life, commit to a life, a greater life of faith, commit to a greater life of witnessing. God, would you help us to do that tonight? And we'll give you the glory for what is accomplished. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet?